B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Hardy just mentioned in headlines, Pat Kraft getting the job at BC. It's actually a good hire for them. It's a good
Temple,
hire.
Temple, right? Temple?
Yeah. You know who he had experience with at Temple was Vincent D'Onofrio, a.k.a. Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule was there, was he not? Those two guys crossed paths there. He may have hired him. I have to look it up, but he's done a good job at Temple. So
Matt Rhule's the guy that talks like this, right? I think he is.
Does he?
I think he does.
Really?
I think so.
I don't know. Sure. He's a hell of a coach, though. I don't know if he can coach in the NFL, but he's a hell of a coach in college.
Yeah.
Fanboy Jim. There's Fan Jim.
There's Fanboy Jim.
It's Fanboy Jim right there. See, it's perfect. You know when Jim's being corporate. You know when Jim's being a producer. You know
he gives
Jim's
out of medals for his guys in the form of jerseys.
Damn right.
I'm sorry. He does what?
No, like they're tough. They have a toughness thing where you can only wear a single-digit number if you're on the tough list.
You have to earn your number.
You have to earn your single-digit number. It's like a badge of honor to wear, because you can wear single digits in college at any position.
Right.
Dumb kids.
Weirdest thing ever.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do the extra 1,600 push-ups for that T-shirt.
How much is factored in on attendance? Is attendance a big thing, getting one of those low numbers?
Yes.
Like if you have the perfect attendance record?
No, I think you actually have to perform, too.
Oh.
It'd be tough.
Just a correction. Pat Kraft did not hire Matt Rhule at Temple.
Sneaky.
Matt Rhule was already there when he got to Temple in 2015.
Sneaky dick comment, huh, Hardy?
It was a sneaky dig, Jim. Jim just threw it there.
Who'd he throw it at?
No one in particular.
Who was it directed at?
Nobody.
Ask Jim. I don't know.
Come on, Jim.
Sneaky corporate
Jim from one of your meetings, Jim.
I'm talking about football. Hardy's thinking about himself.
I'm not thinking about it. I'm listening to the words coming out of your mouth. That's all I'm doing.
That's what she said.
Really?
Really? Why would that be the case? Explain that to me.
Because that's what you said. Set the kids around last night. We watched the greatest that's what she said moments from the Office.
Was it like a YouTube thing?
YouTube thing, yeah. And then we watched Incredibles 2. Wow, which was a really good movie. But
Matt Rhule was already at Temple when Pat Kraft got there. But in 2015, when Pat Kraft got there, Matt Rhule went 10-4. And then 10-3 the following year, and then he took the job at Baylor.
Good for him.
But I just wanted to make it clear that I am capable of saying nice things about BC. That's all.
and leave it right there.
They got a good one today.
Right, there
That's
you go.
A good hire
yep.
from a Northeast city, similar sort of makeup of the city in the sports landscape in Philadelphia to what we've got here. So
Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it.
I'm very tempted to call them names.
Stop it. You just said it was a very smart hire by Boston College. Good for them.
Now move.
Now do the next thing.
Good hire, guys. You got a good one. That's all I'm going to say. That's it. Okay. rule changes.
Go ahead. Was it the Clemson game? I wore the Clemson shirt.
Stop it. Don't.
Oh, that's right.
Don't.
You're so bad.
Rule changes.
They got a new coach, though, Zozo. They got a new coach. They got a new AD.
Hey.
Could be better. Maybe they won't, you know.
Maybe he'll put the time in and not think it was worth going over an extra reel of film, you know, during a March break or something to come down and talk some football just down over the hill. Yeah, but that's okay.
I don't think you'll be... Never mind. Anyway, here's a story in Sports Illustrated. 5 NFL rule changes that they would love to see. You ready for the 5?
Give me.
Let's pick one.
Here's what I think we should do, Beetle.
We should pick one of these to adopt.
Okay.
And there's one in here that we're going to have to exclude right out of the gate.
Okay,
so let's lay them out for
a couple of minutes here, and then we'll take our break and we'll come back, and then we all have to make our case
for the one
that we're going
to die on.
Right?
Okay.
Yep.
Number one is the 4th and 15 rule. which is the one that was discussed about replacing or having the option to not do an onside kick and instead do a 4th-and-15 rule.
Yes. Now, that's the one that we're going to have to throw out.
Because that would be my pick, hands down. That's my pick, and we've already discussed it. So just because of us having already talked about that potential rule at length, we'll take that out of the equation. Yep. So here's four rules.
And I would, and I myself would not pick that one. By the way, the guy who wrote this for Sports Illustrated said, you know, they decided not to go with this. So as fans, we are robbed of the chance to see a 14-point game with 5 minutes remaining become anything less than a void for Joe Buck to fill with promos for Filthy Rich starring Kim Cattrall, which is essentially what it's been and what it's going to continue to be. That's fine with me, though. I don't like the 4th-and-15 rule. I know you would pick that. Zoe probably would pick it, too. I know Jim would pick it.
Nope.
So
wouldn't pick that.
We're throwing that one out.
No, I'd put it in. Put it in right now.
Nope. Okay. So what are the other ones?
Number two, timeouts should carry over.
Okay.
It's pretty simple. You get 3-and-3 right now. They're saying, why does it have to be dependent on what half you're in? If you're going to get that number of timeouts, you can use them at any point in the game.
Okay.
Keep them in your pocket until the final 4 minutes of the game. And you can use all six of them there. Number two, modified XFL extra point rule. Which, without even reading it, I go, all right, Wiggy, what do we have here?
What do you got here, wrestling boy?
He writes, I do think that pushing back the extra point has added a bit of flair to a once meaningless play.
13 pieces.
There's flair on that play? I don't think there's any play on that. There's no flair on that play.
Oh, you hold your breath now on an extra point more than you used to.
Yeah, that doesn't mean it's, like, exciting. I also think that should teams feel content with ignoring the analytics and continuing to insist on kicking the 1-point extra point, again, they must be, you're now stupid for kicking the extra point. This analytics stuff is creeping into football, too.
Yep.
Idiots kicking an extra point. They should be able to do so. The league should do more, however, to set in place a risk-reward system for a team willing to either A, take a big chance at the beginning of the game, or B, execute a miraculous play at the end of the game when they're down by more than one traditional score. I'm not exactly following.
Well, it has nothing to do with the extra point. He says that's why he advocates for this XFL extra point rule, which now has a series of 1, 2, and 3-point tries from various yardages.
Yes.
So have the opportunity for teams to put extra points on the board other than either just the one set extra point or the 2-point conversion.
Correct. He wants 1, 2, and 3-point options based on completing a score from, as he writes, say the 7 and 15 yards respectively. So if you go you score from the 7, you get 2. If you score from the 15, you get 3 points.
Right. Now, the XFL, not that I would know this, but apparently they didn't have the extra point kick at all. They had a series of 1, 2, and 3-point tries, but you could do this by having different yardages for the kicks. Is that what they're saying?
No, different yardages for a play. You line up and run a play. So a 2-point conversion from the 7.
What
a 3-point conversion from the 15. That's what that is. No, not kicks. Not different length kicks. No. This is number 3 on the list.
Jesus. All right.
College AAF overtime hybrid rules.
Okay.
In the AAF, short-lived, of course, it had each team getting one crack, 4 downs, starting at the 10-yard line, and no extra points. There can be ties. In college, teams alternate possessions from the 25-yard line until a winner, as we know. So the idea here is a hybrid. In borrowing the best of both worlds, each team should be guaranteed a possession from the 10-yard line and alternate until a winner is declared. This adds both a higher likelihood of a quick resolution and a heightened drama in that coaches have one of 3 extra point options. Oh, my God. I thought extra points were out.
Yeah.
A coach who scores first and kicks an extra point immediately leaves himself exposed to a team attempting a 2-point try. No longer will we have to listen to, he gives a name on Reddit, complain about overtime coin flips. Okay. And the final one. is eliminate the coach to quarterback and coach to green dot defensive player radio. That one is self-explanatory. Get rid of it. No more talking to the quarterbacks from the sideline through a radio. No more talking to a linebacker or whoever it is you've got mic'd up with the headset in their helmet.
Bring back the hand signals to steal and film. That's right.
So we're going to pick one of these to defend and adopt if we must accept one of these rule changes. Which one would you accept? We'll give you our answers to that question coming up next.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, you've got four rules to choose from that you must accept. I hate all of them. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of any of them.
I don't like any of these rule changes.
Where's hands to the face for a defensive back who just barely touches a chin strap or grazes the side of a helmet, and he gets a 5-yard first down and automatic first
down? That's not this exercise. We're taking proposed rule changes.
Who comes up with this crap?
And you are being forced to implement one of them. Which one are you going to implement? The 4th and 15 were taken off the table, so you either have timeouts carry over from first half to second half. You can do a modified XFL extra point rule where you have 2 and 3 point tries from varying yardages along with the standard extra point. You can do the college and Alliance of American Football overtime hybrid, or you can eliminate the coach to quarterback and coach to green dot defensive player radio.
Okay.
Those are the ones you have to choose from.
Who goes first?
You.
Okay, I think I'm gonna do process elimination. I think it's crazy for anybody that would want to eliminate the communication between a quarterback or the guy that's calling signals. I think that speeds the game up. I think we want to communicate better in everything, right? So they almost have perfected how quickly can we accelerate things on offense and defense with personnel, with calls and all that. Boom, get it in, process it, get the call out, process it. I'm gonna go with the timeouts.
Oh,
I'm gonna tell you why. Because out of everything else changes the damn game for me. Like, okay, all of a sudden, overtime rules, we're going to do this because Kansas City's bitching that they didn't get the ball back. So all of a sudden, we're going to change overtime to make everybody else happy. The extra point rule, modifying, third and what? We're going for the 7? We're going for the 5? What is it? It's so damn confusing. At least there are already 3 timeouts and 3 timeouts per half. So I'll give you an example. Go back to the Super Bowl. Shanahan was getting crushed for not calling timeout right there before the half. He was comfortable going in 10-10 because they were backed up inside their own 10 off that punt, and people crushed him for it. So he didn't call timeout there. That'd be kind of cool if he could have that timeout in the next half when he's trailing late in the game to help his quarterback settle down when stuff started to unravel.
The first thing that you said when you didn't want to eliminate the coach to quarterback or coach to green dot radio communication. You want things to move up. If you allow teams to carry over timeouts from the first half and the second half, that is going to slow the end
college
of games
basketball.
Down pace.
That's the only problem. It'd be like, let's automatically foul a guy and put him on the line for a 1-on-1 just because we're down by 10, and we're going to just do that every time the ball's in play, and it's going to end up extending this game another 25 minutes. I agree with you on that. I think they're all bad. I don't think any of these are good. But at least that one I could see, okay.
Okay, well, I will take your argument and turn it against you and say...
You've seen the end of college games where guys have stashed their college timeout. Basketball where they've stashed the timeouts and how long the final 2 minutes of a game can take.
In the tournament, the last minute can take 15 minutes.
You can carry two over. You want that to happen in the NFL?
Timeouts.
And here's the biggest problem with this rule, too, if that could get instituted. Coaches are going to get crushed out there in public for not using timeouts if they're getting their ass kicked in a game. How are you not burning your timeouts? They will get crucified for it, which would make them, I got to call timeout. There's 2 minutes left in the game. We have no chance to win this, but I'm going to get crushed if I don't use my timeouts. So he's just going to be burning timeouts to burn timeouts to extend those. You know how brutal it is, guys, those final 2 minutes of a game. That could go in a matter of a minute and a half to 2 minutes, or that could last a half hour. and we've seen it.
You get beat 45-12, and you've got three timeouts left. Do you think the main thing they're worried about is not getting crucified for using their timeouts?
Sure, some guys would worry about that. I don't like any of the rules.
Okay,
you're gonna
make me choose one of these. Go ahead and get rid of the radio communication between the coaches and the quarterbacks. And
brutal
the coaches
pick. Brutal.
It's
that would be my
pick
too, Hardy. I like that one.
But if you like football the way it is, it wasn't always like that. That I've never been a fan of, like, no, everybody quiet down. I can't hear. They have to tell me what to do.
So you'd rather have quarterbacks that have to run to the sideline like it's high school?
No. Well, first of all, I think it would encourage a lot more no huddle, and it would encourage guys going up there and having real quarterbacks and get up there and call plays, and you're going to have more quarterbacks developing faster because they're going to be forced into it. They're going to have to get up there. They're going to have to learn how to read defenses. They're going to have to call audibles. They're going to have to – it is moving more of the game back onto the field with the players. And you're going to have to learn new ways of communicating from the sideline, either it's, you know, with the signs or with the hand signals or whatever. But I don't think it slows the game down by eliminating that communication. Fine. Take the communication out of the helmet. Let them – That would actually increase. That would help the pace of the game.
Find out who the real quarterbacks are instead of these remote control quarterbacks.
There you go.
How is it going to help the pace of the game?
How is
it going to help the pace of the game?
How is it going to slow it down?
Because now a quarterback, to talk to his coaches or to get information relayed, either has to be in signals or on a sign.
You could take up.
You're only going to add in more confusion to it. And you're going to have guys that are running to the sideline between plays.
Yeah, but the play clock isn't going to be extended. There's a play clock.
So explain to me how it makes things faster. That's the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard.
More time.
Of course,
Jim just said it. Your quarterbacks are going to be encouraged to go out there and run plays either as they are already scripted. You know what you're going to do right now.
You think that quarterbacks are going to be allowed to start calling the plays on their own?
Nope.
That NFL coaches are going to let that out of their grasp?
Nope.
Get out of here.
They're not going to be keeping them at the line of scrimmage until 15 on the play clock saying, okay, look at the middle linebacker here. Look at the way they're set up on defense here. We can go to this guy on this. No, you're going to get up to the, and you're going to snap the ball when you're ready.
This would kill Jared Goff. Yes.
And no,
that doesn't speed it up, Jim, because they're getting to the line later than they would have. So the timing is not going to, it's not going to improve. If you say it's not going to slow it down, that's one thing. If you're trying to make the case that it picks up the pace, that's asinine.
Okay,
insane.
They're not going to allow it anyway. None of these rules are going to be implemented. They've already tabled the one that we
We know that.
Okay.
You said they're never going to allow that.
Well, they're not going to allow a lot of things. But the one thing I would, if you're going to force me to pick one of these.
Coaches are never going to allow, would never allow for their quarterbacks, in theory, Hardy, the whole conversation is in theory, that they would never allow the play calling to go into the hands of the quarterback over them. They're not going to do that. They're just not going to give up that power. That's what they're there for.
Well, not entirely, no.
That's what they build their careers on.
But it's already taken out of the hands of, or it's already more in the hands of some guys more than others, and those are the quarterbacks we like to watch. I mean, did Tom Brady have more of a say in what plays were going to happen once he got up to the line?
Not last year.
And I mean, when he's at his best, you know, exactly.
Of course, there are audibles for everybody, but still. The communication when one play ends into the next, like, just let it be. Thank God they have that. Move the game along. Zoe, do you have a thought on it? Instead of just mocking it? Do you have a thought on anything there?
Oh, no. I think it should be in the game. I think it speeds the game up. What you're going to do is you're going to consume the entire play clock here because you're going to have some uncertainty. You're going to look to the sideline and be like, what am I doing? Three wide? Yeah. Okay. You can't. I mean, you could signal, hey, play number 15 on your wristband, flip it. You could signal that stuff in. But what this is going to do is you're going to have to hurry up and get coaches to hurry up and just panic and get a play in. Because now the quarterback's got to get it. He's got to call it. He's got to get up there. He's got to look at it. And I think it's going to go 10, 9, 8. You're going to get ball snapped at 5 or under. As opposed to some balls maybe getting snapped at 15 on the play clock. That's where the game gets
extended.
How
often does that happen?
I would adopt number.
It's
going to
happen if you get trained that way. That's
no,
happen
I mean, how often now are they leaving 15 seconds on the play clock before they snap it? They're still using time on the play clock.
I don't know. You get the good teams, the high flying teams. They'll move.
As a matter of fact, use that entire play clock from a selfish standpoint because I like to record games sometimes, and you can use that 30-second jump. You program it into your Xfinity remote, and as soon as that runner hits the line and you know he's going to be tackled, boom, 30-second jump, and you get right, if they're using the entire play clock, you get them right before they snap the ball. It's a perfect way to watch
Beetle,
the game
college
when you're trying to catch up.
College uses the signs on the sideline, and everyone gets to the huddle, gets to the line, looks over to the sign, and then they run the play.
Like trained dogs.
They're not going to not run no huddle and not run up-tempo just because they don't have a coach-to-quarterback communication.
I didn't say they wouldn't. Who said that? I didn't say that.
That increases the – so some of these coaches are going to run.
What this does is it eliminates the hand signals and the ability of other teams to steal things, right?
Here's how it picks up the pace. It eliminates that first – they all look over, get the sign from the sidelines, then they all go down in their stance, and then the guy gets in his ear and says – okay, here's how the defense looks. The quarterback's going to have to figure that out by himself, and it's going to take less time than the coach talking him through it.
When does the when does it cut off in the quarterback's helmet now?
15.
15 seconds, okay.
So which one are you going to argue for?
I want it to stay in.
No, Beetle.
I was about to get to it. I was about to say it. I tried to say it a couple of times, but I'll just hold on to it until after headlines. Oh, thanks.
There's your tease.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
(617) 779-0985 The rule that I would adopt is this from this story on Sports Illustrated by Connor Orr. Four different options we are considering. He gave five, one of which was the 4th and 15. We took that off the board right out of the gate. I would take the modified extra point rule, which adds a 3-point option, which gives a team the chance to score 3 points.
Go ahead, Wiggy. Explain why.
Well, none of them are good options, but I would...
We all say that. None of these are good.
I would say that this is probably closer to reality than maybe some of the others in here, because I think the kick is going to go away at some point. Kicking sucks in the NFL.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, other than a field goal, extra points, useless play. Kickoffs, useless play. No one came to the stadium to see an extra point. No one came to the stadium to see the current kickoff. No one watches football because of those two plays. So the one thing that kickers have going for them now is that they still kick field goals. Yay, field goals.
So what type of play would you want for the 3-point play?
Yeah, I think 15 yards is what's suggested. I would take it as written, 15 yards. You score from the 15, you get 3.
See, that's the one to me that doesn't really – fall in line with the other stuff. It's like the extra point is what the extra point is. I understand if you get down that far and you're going to kick a field goal, you get 3 instead of 1, but this is different. You know, the 2-point conversion, obviously you're only a few yards outside the goal line, and had that happened the play before, it would be worth 6 and not 2. But to go out to 4th and 15 and to complete that play and only get 3 points for it, it seems like a lot of work to get 3.
Well, it's only going to be used in desperation situations. That's why I look at the rule change and say, you're still allowed to kick. You're still allowed to go for 2. Those two things already exist. Now you're going to add a third option where you get to go for 3. How rare will that play be? They'll be barely used, incredibly rare, and it will be in situations where you trail by 9 late in the game and you're trying to tie it, or you trail by 8 and you're trying to win it, which I don't think very many teams would go for. I think instead they'd just go for 2 still.
Yeah.
So it's really about late game down by 9. That's the only time you're going to see it used. And so for me, I look at the rules and say, which one is very little in terms of a change? That one, you read it and you say, oh, that seems extreme. It's never going to get used.
See, I think you would use that if you're trailing by 6. Hey, we pick up 3 here, then all we need is a field goal. Hey, if we're only trailing by 5, pick up 3 here, field goal wins the game. I see all kinds of scenarios.
Yeah, exactly. You just laid out the scenario for why that won't happen. You just said it's a lot of work and it's a lot of risk.
I don't know.
But you're not going to take the guaranteed. If you're leading, you're not going to take the 1 point. Which
and,
is
get yourself, and get yourself
guinea?
Within 5? That 5 doesn't do you no good.
Didn't you just describe a situation where you're leading?
No. If you're trailing by six.
Yeah.
Say, we're down six here.
So what are you going to do? Take the extra point so now you're only trailing by five? That doesn't really do any good. Now we got to go get another touchdown.
No, you're going to take the three.
No, it still does you good because if you score another touchdown, then you could go for two.
Yeah, but it's harder to score a touchdown.
So it's going to be really hard to convince a team that going for three is the right call. They'd rather go for one and a two
over
the course of two scores.
All kinds of scenarios toward the end of games where people would be willing to say, look, our odds of getting down here again and scoring a touchdown are very, very little. Our odds of getting close enough to kick a field goal, much, much better. So let's go for three to get ourselves within and make a 6-point deficit either a 3 or a 5-point deficit only 2.
Okay.
And that way that field goal that we can get ourselves in position for.
Think you're going to see a lot of it?
It's going to be a lot more common than only teams trailing by 8 or 9.
I'd say why don't we see more 2-point conversion tries then?
Because that's only a 1-point difference.
No, you see the same scenario. You see 2-point conversions in those scenarios, though.
Yeah, sometimes you do, but not always.
If you're down five after you score, you're going for two.
And
that would be the same scenario.
And that's, you'd be down six. Do you go for two?
Yeah, that's the new scenario I'm saying. But right now, if you're down five under the
currently,
rules,
as it stands currently, on down five, it's obvious.
We just scored a touchdown. The score is now.
You don't see teams going for it when they're down six, going for two.
No,
I said down five. I said it's the
same
scenario,
because that's
just
obvious.
One number
it's,
off.
It's not the same scenario because what you just described was being down how many now?
Six. In that case, you would go for you wouldn't go for two, but you'd go for three.
Yeah, I don't think teams would do it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm here. I've looked into the future. I'm telling you, they would. If you're down five, do you go for two? After you score your touchdown,
yes. Some teams do.
Absolutely.
Sometimes they do. Not often. It's still not a high rate. I bet it's the current rate of 2-point conversions is less than 10%. I'm sure in that scenario, it's still less than let's say 30 or 40%. I don't think everyone's has been jumping at that opportunity.
I think in the fourth quarter, that goes up to like 90% if you're down five.
Yeah, I would agree. In the fourth quarter, and that's where you're going to see this come into play. When teams are down and they're trailing and they need to try and get back into it late. But it's also not an easy play, as Hardy mentioned right off the top. That's not an easy one. And so you're going to be a lot more tempted to go for two or kick the extra point because the three is a huge risk. To score a touchdown with one play from the 15-yard line, that's not an easy play. Very difficult. 617-779-0985. Marty is in Hyde Park. Hi, Marty.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Marty.
I want to mention something about, when you're talking about carrying over the timeouts?
Yes.
Where it will slow up the game, of course, right?
Yes.
Why not make the carryover timeouts automatically the first ones that are called in the second half and just stop it like it's an out-of-bounds? And there's no time to talk to a coach. It just stops the clock. Now when you run out of a carryover timeout, now you still got your three late in the game where you can go over and talk to the coach and have a beer.
I don't get it.
I'm just going to move on.
I don't get it.
I don't either. Okay. Automatically called timeouts because there's a stoppage in play?
What kind of beer could you have?
What? What would be the point of that? I don't understand the point. So Rick is in Plymouth. Hi, Rick.
All right, I like the timeout rule for starters because I've been pushing for this for a long time. A lot of wasted timeouts are still on the board at the end of the first half. I would love to see them carry over and make the end of the game a lot more interesting. It might slow it down, I get it, but I think the excitement factor might override that. You got, say you got five timeouts. Say your quarterback calls a timeout in the first half because he has a long play clock or whatever else, and the play clock's running out. Fine, he blows the timeout. He got five to carry over instead of three. That's going to change the dynamic of the game entirely, and I'm all for that.
Yeah, use them wisely. You get three in each half. You get a lot of timeouts to begin with. You want to have some fun? Take away some timeouts.
Exactly. Oh, my God. How much better would basketball be? How much better would basketball be if they took away some of the timeouts in basketball? Oh, it'd be fantastic. Fewer timeouts, not more. Yeah. Don't give them a chance to use them in more circumstances.
You've got two per half now. I just took away one. Now I think it's exciting.
That's
you
know what?
I think we're in good shape.
You would make a great Major League Baseball negotiator. 82 games. We say 114. 50!
50, a-holes. That's what you get.
I'll give you $25,000 for this car. How about 30? Now I'm only giving you 20. What? Well, hold on. What happened to 25?
No, my number's 20 now. My mind has changed. We'll get to this date in show history coming up next, and we will get to more of your calls on potential rule changes as well. Don't go anywhere.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Going back in time, this date in show history. We've got some news on the NBA front that we'll be getting to in just minutes. It's sort of breaking as we speak here. It's good news. Positive news, everyone. Sports making a comeback. We've got good news. We'll have that coming up in just minutes. Today is June 3rd, and I'm curious to hear what we've got from this day in previous years.
Well, we got stuff from this day in previous years. We're going to go back, first of all, to 2015. This is 5 years ago.
Just pups.
Now, Beetle, if I were to ask you, has Zoe ever been fired up about baseball?
Yes. He's been fired up about Clay Buchholz or David Price or Chris Sale. He typically needs a punching bag on the pitching staff.
All correct. Right. Well, Zoe was fired up about baseball on this date.
Josh Beckett.
3 June 2015. Let's listen.
Buchholz pitched well. Bottom line, he's 3-6. He's your frontline guy. He's 3-6 on the year. He's been good the last month. I get that. But bottom line, it's a stat-based results business. That's what sports are. People should be held accountable. You need more accountability down there instead of just the damn pitching coach.
Wow.
Oh, man.
This is an actual baseball take.
My God, it's an actual inspired, like, passionate take from Zoe. Yeah. It's been years since we've gotten one of those out of you.
Oh. That's necessary.
Well, that Zoe just doesn't get fired up like that anymore. We haven't had that in a while.
Get me fired up, then.
Was that the five aces year?
Yeah, it was.
He's the ace, I'm the ace, you're the ace.
You know what it was? You know what it was, too? It was your ability to take these 10 starts versus those 10 starts, and we could handpick when the pitcher was good. He could sit there and kiss his ass. No, you, what you are is what you are in totality from the beginning of the year to that point. And that's what that June argument was. I got so sick of the damn, well, let's cut it up in 10-game functioning stats, and we'll look at it that way. No. No, right.
Someone like Carrabas loves to do this.
Exactly.
Loves to cherry pick his stats. And we used to have this battle with him all the time. And he'd say, that this month he's 4-1 with an ERA that's like sub-2. And you're like, yeah, and he sucked in the month of April.
Yeah.
So you can't say that he's going to be the same guy in June that he was in May when he had a terrible April. Who knows what he's going to be?
Yeah, and it's not just the pitcher. You do this with people do this with Jackie Bradley Jr. too. Well, he's had a great month. You know, oh, really? Well, how about the first 2.5 months that he sucked ball bags on? That we can't do that. Where we go back and we want to say, well, this 10 games was great. These 10 games, it wasn't.
You can do it in the moment and say, guy's playing well right now, but that is not a predictor of future success. Like, you can't say he's having a great month, therefore his next month will be great, when you've got a much larger sample of a player when they suck most of the time.
Yeah.
You know? Stupid.
All right, this date in show history, we're going to 2016 for this one. I've always had trouble saying this player's name, and I think Zoe goofed on me for it. And
starts with the knee, right? Starts with the knee.
So how did you know?
I don't forget stuff, that stuff.
Do you know who it is, Beetle?
Is it Juan Encarnacion?
Edwin.
Don Arcillo.
Yep.
Encarnacion. Put him at DH, right?
They're not getting Encarnacion.
Those two homers, then Carson.
I feel more confident in Chris Sale and his ability than I would say Edwin Encarnacion.
Encarnacion. Got it.
Edwin. I always do that. I always go to Juan. Who played like in the 90s.
Yeah. Encarnacion.
Is there one too many syllables in that last name?
Encarnacion. No, because it was so inflected by Don Arcillo. Encarnacion.
Juan Encarnacion's last season was in 2007, so he hasn't played in 13 years. God. But Edwin, on the other hand, Edwin's played more recently.
Now, this next one I don't trust because you know how Jim and Tom are. They are unfair. They cheat, and they go way out of their way to make us sound worse than we normally do.
Right.
This is a case of someone caught when the hosts aren't listening. And I don't know which of the three of us it's going to be, but I will defend all of us right now. It's probably heavily edited, and it's probably not an accurate representation
of what happened, right?
Yeah. So, Zoe, if it's you,
we'll be the judge of that.
Zoe, if it's you, I don't think it happened this way. Beetle, I'm on record right now as saying I don't think it happened this way. Would you two join me in defending whoever this ends up being?
No, I think we'll have a listen, and then we'll
say. I think we listen to it because I think it's really trending. It's probably going to be you. So,
I think it would be much better if we all decided right now that we were going to just decide that this is unfair.
Right. Okay. Let's just cross our arms and turn the mics off and let it play. Let it speak for itself.
That doesn't qualify for the Mitchell and Ness treatment.
A Shaq Celtics jersey.
You don't get that. Exactly. You don't get that unless you bought it when the guy was there. You should not be allowed to wear that. My God. So anyway.
It's like wearing a Shaq Celtics jersey. Just don't do it. Somebody just say that? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I remember that. That was exactly how it played out. I forgot about that one.
Unfair. Jim said it only in certain places. He has the ability to turn his microphone on to only certain ears and on the air, and he didn't have it on in my headphones.
How weird was it to have Shaq here, though?
Is that what happened?
No.
Oh.
Shaq Celtics jersey.
You don't get that. Exactly. You don't get that unless you bought it when the guy was there. You should not be allowed to wear that. My God. So anyway.
It's like wearing a Shaq Celtics jersey.
Okay.
You didn't hear the one man.
But Jim was low-talking there, Hardy.
Shaq Celtics jersey.
He was low-talking, and I was talking very fast, and I don't blame you for that one.
Thank you.
For having
Thank
not
you.
Heard.
Thank
for
you.
Of course you wouldn't blame
him.
Hardy.
I would say that Jim low-talking there gives you an out, but that is not heavily edited. That is not something that you should be accusing.
No, as long as we're being fair, that was not edited at all. There's no edits. No. You know, slamming the two segments together, make them sound like they happened in closer success. No.
Hold on. Can we go to the part where there's just dead silence, where Zoe and I were probably just staring at it?
Oh, sure. Let's listen to it again.
That's
by
my
all
favorite
means.
Part.
Let's listen to the whole thing again.
I want the aftermath.
That doesn't qualify for the Mitchell and Ness treatment.
Shaq Celtics jersey.
You don't get that. Exactly. You don't get that unless you bought it when the guy was there. You should not be allowed to wear that. My God. So anyway.
It's like wearing a Shaq Celtics jersey. Just don't do it. Somebody just say that? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. We just stared. I'm like, really? Really, Artie?
Hate everybody. All right. Finally, from this date in show history, the best drops from... One day. Now, wait a second. This is today.
Yeah.
Best.
June 3rd. From all the years of June 3rd.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But
today's June 3rd. We typically go back and look at previous June 3rds.
It says 2020. Okay. So I assume they were from today's show when you put 2020.
Oh, Tom put it together today.
Okay. We're having real issues in here because somebody... who is loading cuts in the system or the system somehow in Maya got modified with European writing of the dates. So I have a lot of cuts in the system today that say they're from 3/6/2020, which is how you would do it. Like, from 3 June? No, that's not how we do it in this country.
You said March 6th, right.
I told Hardy, hey, we have plenty of Brad Stevens sound for your headlines. He goes, no, it's from March. Nope. Today. Nope.
All right. Here we go.
European labeling. That's great.
All the drops from this day, June 3rd.
I don't feel any anger. How could I? I think there's been no lack of effort.
We've got to do some things differently.
You got to do a doubleheader when? In August?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I want to do sports radio. And this is how Bubba typed Joe Kim Noah's name. First name Joe, last name Kim Noah. Fred Toucher called me a peaker.
Beef.
Bubba, wait, Muffin asked the intern on the call screener.
Yep.
Or in notes typed out Joe
Kim Noah. Last name right. Kim Noah.
That's better than Frank O'Harris.
Yeah, right. The Irish Joe, Irish running back
Kim Noah is his last name.
What's the name of that Irish running back from Penn State?
O'Harris? Frank O'Harris.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Joe, there we go.
Kim Noah. All right, we'll get to the news on the NBA that is breaking at this hour.
Okay,
they're ready for their comeback. If you were confused by the, I think as one tweeter had it, Jim, do you call it a popsicle headache or an ice cream headache?
Yeah, he said, don't even make that last hour available for download. It gave me a popsicle headache.
Okay, well, if you thought that was a popsicle headache, wait until you hear the NBA's plan, which they will have ratified by tomorrow, according to reports. We'll get to it in 90 seconds.